day called The Beginning. And in this series, we are going to be looking through the first five chapters of the book of Genesis. So if you're among those who like to read ahead, I want to encourage you to be sure to do that. Today we're going to be in Genesis chapter 1, so if you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to go ahead and turn there. But we're gonna look at this, as you might imagine, with how I would do things. We're going to look at this a little bit differently, because I think it's particularly when we talk about creation, right? When we talk about how it is that the world was made, it doesn't take long to come across some question marks, right? Like, well, how could that happen exactly? And should we look at this literally, right? Like, was it actually 6 days that God created everything, like 6 24-hour periods? Or was it, you know, is it one of those like day is a thousand years kind of thing? Or you know, how does he do all that? And so when we get into all those questions, and who knows, maybe those will be some of the questions you bring with you Thursday. But when we get into some of those questions, sometimes we can get to a point where we say, you know what, it's just hard to imagine that God could do that. It's hard to imagine that God could just create everything just by speaking the words. It's hard to imagine how that happens. And so what I want us to do today is begin to explore why it is so difficult to imagine those things. And how it is maybe that we might be able to look at it just a little bit differently to maybe make it a little bit easier to imagine, right? So before we get into that, before we read, I want to want us to pray together. Lord God, we do thank you so much for your presence here among us even now. I know, Father, that you are here and that you are active. I know that not just because I feel you, but because your word promises it. And so, Lord, we just stand on the promise of your word that you are here and that your Holy Spirit is moving. God, I just ask that the words of my mouth would be yours. That, Lord, that you would speak through me in a way that is outside of myself, God. That your message alone would be proclaimed in this place. And that, God, you'd be pleased with the way we respond to you. Help us to hear your voice now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So Genesis chapter 1 and starting in verses 1 and 2 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And it says, now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. This idea of what it would have been like for everything to be formless and empty and dark. Like, how do you, like, I mean, I can read those words, but like, if I had to, like, how do you envision that in your mind, right? Like, how do you set that up as a starting point, right? Like, I know if I'm gonna run a race, then I know I've got a starting line and I've got a finish line, but there's like a physical line there. There's a place of beginning. Like, basically what this is saying is that in the beginning, nothing. Like, how do you wrap your mind around formless and, again, I want to make sure I use the right words, formless and empty and dark? I remember growing up, if you knew me then, you would really be scratching your head right now. Let me just say that. I was one of those kids who, believe it or not, I had kind of a smart mouth. And I know, maybe that's not so hard to believe. But I was extremely shy. When I was a small child, I was the one that if we were ever like, if my parents were ever introducing me to somebody that I had not yet met, like I was the kid who was hiding behind my mother, right? Like I was that kid. I was just very, very shy. And then as I came up through school, I was experiencing some things there that were not uplifting, let's say it that way. My parents did not do a very good job of getting along with each other, right? Now, the good news is they do a great job of getting along with each other now. The unfortunate news is that they got divorced in order to be able to do that. And in that home that I grew up in, because they just weren't very good at handling conflict and just weren't very good at communicating with each other, there was a lot of yelling. There was a lot of just hurtful words, right? And I actually kind of think that may have contributed some to how introverted I was, because in hearing all of that, I just did everything that I could to avoid that. So I would just stay in my room and close the door. I would just make sure that I'm not in whatever room they're in, right? But that was, I remember when they sat me down to tell me that they were going to be getting a divorce and thinking to myself, well, duh. Like, of course, like, you know, I was in middle school at the time and I could tell that this wasn't working out, right? Like, I didn't have a girlfriend yet, but I could tell marriage didn't work there, right? And it was hard though, because that was just daily life. Like, that was daily life, just experiencing that turmoil and that stress, that constant anger in the home. It just became normal, right? And then I'd go to school, and as shy as I was outside of school, I was almost as such there. And so I was less than the most popular kid in school. Let's just say it that way, right? There was not a line of people waiting to eat lunch with me, right? I had some friends and everything like that. I don't feel too bad for me. But I was constantly in this state of wondering, like, what do I have to do to fit in, right? Now, all of this might seem sort of trivial and as if it is really not very consequential. I know that people will experience much harder things than I ever had to in my life. But by what I went through, I do have a glimpse of what it feels like to be empty and dark and formless. I know what it feels like to have a life that feels formless and empty and dark. I remember even as I was in school, I remember that the anger that I lived in, I took on for myself, and in some ways I still fight that even today. But I remember, like, I would use language that you wouldn't believe as I stand here before you now, and I would use it as if I was breathing, right? Because there was a power that came with that, right? Like, if you could say just the right offensive thing, then who's going to stop you, right? Who's going to keep you from bringing that word out of your mouth? Of course, I didn't talk like that at home because my mama would have beat me, right? But outside of that, there's something about that, and there was, like, I remember the darkness of that I felt in speaking that way and in acting that way and living that way. And you know, it's interesting. It is hard for me to imagine how the earth was formless and empty and dark, but I know what it felt like in my life when I felt formless and empty and dark. And it makes me wonder if you don't have a taste of that as well. Maybe as you look back through your life, you can kind of see, you know what? Like, I remember some times where there were some dark days in my life. Like, there were some days where it's like, I mean, it goes beyond just not following the Lord. Like, I really had some days where my heart was hard. You know, and I just felt empty. Maybe it was a matter of the fact, maybe there was a relationship that didn't work out, and you put so much value in that, and then it didn't work out, and then just the emptiness that you felt, or whatever it might have been. Like, I just have to imagine that maybe you have gone through some things in your life, or maybe you're even in the midst of it right now, where you know exactly what it feels like. You know what it is to feel formless and empty and dark. You know what that feels like in your life. I wonder if maybe instead of us trying to imagine what it might have looked like before the earth was created, what if instead we might just need to imagine what it felt like? Because that I don't think is hard to imagine at all. I think all of us have felt that. And if we can feel that as mortal and broken and small as we are in light of the whole cosmos, like, if we can feel that ourselves, it's really not that big of a jump to imagine that everything could feel like that. Then we get to verse 3. It says, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. I remember after my parents got divorced, my mom started worshiping with a different congregation. And that's actually how I got introduced to the Church of God. And when I got there, there was something different about these people. Not like different, like me different, right? Like, not like, oh, that's weird. But in a way it kind of was too. Like, it's like the church that I grew up in, like, I got used to people who were really good at being in a place of worship on Sunday, and then the rest of the week was like, I don't even know what's going on, but it sure didn't look like what they looked like on Sunday, right? And I learned really, really fast how to do that. I can tell you right now, I know real good how to make you think I'm following Jesus today and how to do whatever I want to do the rest of the days of the week. I'm an expert in that. I could teach the class. I could make the t-shirt for you to wear if you wanted one. Like, I've been there, right? But then I showed up at this other congregation, and these people, like they actually had joy in their heart. And it was the weirdest thing. I know it shouldn't sound that strange, right? But, like, these people, like, when they worship God, like, it actually, like, you felt that. Like it was as if they were actually giving their whole heart to God in the midst of that song or a prayer. Let me tell you, like, when they prayed, like, these people prayed. It was not like a 5 second just being polite to God, getting it out of the way, check your box off. Like, no. These people, like, named every request that came before the church, and they took some time on this thing. Long enough that as I was a student in school, like, I actually began to challenge myself, could I keep my eyes closed through the whole prayer? Because that would have been an accomplishment for me if I could just keep my eyes closed that long, right? Like, these people, like, it was as if when they prayed to God, they really believed that God was hearing them and responding to them, like it mattered. It wasn't just a formality they were going through, but it was like who they were. And I saw this, and it was like, wow. What is this? And what I came to realize was that was light. That was light. I'd never seen that before. Here's what's interesting. That light showed up in the midst of the darkest days that I was experiencing. Both of the choices I was making and the choices that were being made around me, like, that light just showed up. So I might not be able to explain for you how it is that there can be this darkness and this formlessness and this emptiness, and then all of a sudden, in the midst of all this, God just speaks, and there's this light. And here's this crazy thing, because this will really mess you up. God hadn't even created the sun yet. And yet there's this light. And I can't explain, but you might not be able to imagine how is it that God can take nothing and just speak and light happens. You might not be able to imagine how that can go, but I want you to know I can imagine that. Because I know what it felt like to be in darkness, and I know what it felt like for light to just happen, and I wasn't looking for it, and I didn't know it was looking for me, but I can tell you I saw it as clear as I'm standing before you right now. Maybe you've experienced that as well. Maybe it was a Bible verse you came across, or maybe it was somebody you were talking to who just offered to pray for you. It just makes me wonder if maybe you haven't like experienced that light in one way or another. Maybe as you were in the midst of your darkness, there was a moment of hope that you couldn't explain. And maybe you actually explained it away. Maybe you talked yourself out of having hope. Maybe there was a glimmer where you began to see, like, you know what? I might actually have some purpose in my life. That's light. That's light. And you might not be able to explain where that came from. And you might not be able to even imagine how it is that God could speak into your life like that. But he did. See, that's why I just wonder, like, yeah, maybe it's hard to imagine how God could start with nothing and just speak light into existence. But is it really that hard? Is it really that hard to imagine? Because hasn't he done that in us already? Isn't he doing that even now? Like, think about this. Like if you've ever sensed the voice of God in your life, wasn't that light? Didn't he illuminate something? Didn't he help you see something that you'd never seen before? And you might not have even known where it came from. You might not even know how it happens, but it's light. Let me keep going here. Let me read for you. John chapter 8, verse 12 says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The good news for us today is that no matter how dark your darkness is, God is able to speak light into your life. No matter how hopeless you feel, God is able to speak light into your life. No matter how distant you might feel from him, God is able to speak light into you. And you might not even know where it's coming from. You might not know how it's going to get to you. But I just want you to know today, God is seeking to put his light in your life. And it comes through Jesus. If you're feeling that darkness today, I want to challenge you to just start looking at Jesus. Read the Word. Get it in the New Testament. Get into the book of Matthew. Just start reading about the things that Jesus was doing. And look at what Jesus says to people. And start applying that to your life. I want you to know, as you do, the light of Christ is going to rise up in you, and you're not going to know where it comes from necessarily, but you're just going to begin to see some things because his light will respond to his word. Thank you, Lord. I didn't even plan that one. Do you see what happened right there? His light will respond to his word. So the same way that he spoke light into existence, he is able to speak that light into your existence as you get into his word. Thank you, Lord. That was beautiful. I'm going to move on before I mess that up. Verse 6. God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. Now, in seeing the word vault there, you could just input the word sky. So basically, this is where God separated out the sky from everything that is below the sky. And again, as we think about that, like for me, like, it's kind of hard to imagine what might it have been like when those two things were not separated. Right? Like, we see now that there is sky and there is water and land and whatnot, but what would that have even looked like when it wasn't separated? Like, before God, like kind of sticks his hands in there and, you know, kind of pushes them apart, or however God does that in his divine, you know, way of doing things. It was all together at some point. I remember particularly as I was in high school, when I was a junior in high school, I like for real gave my life to the Lord. Like, before I was aware of God, but my junior year of high school, the summer before my junior year of high school, I just abandoned everything for him and just actually started living for him. None of this back and forth stuff, none of this Sunday stuff and then whatever throughout the week. Like that's when I decided, you know what, I'm all in on this guy. Like, this is my life. This is my life. And it was really, really interesting. Along that same time, the friends that I did have, all of a sudden, I couldn't really find them anymore. It was weird. I think the term now is ghosting, right? Is that the right term? Did I use that right? I probably didn't. It's all right. All of a sudden, these people that were around before, that were friends of mine, that we'd hang out in classes and talk and that kind of stuff, we'd talk in the hallways and so forth, and all this kind of stuff. Now, all of a sudden, whenever they're doing stuff on the weekends, now I don't know nothing about that. It's weird, right? And there began to be this separation that was happening. And it was probably good that I wasn't all that bright at this stage of my life, because if I'd really put all the pieces together, it probably would have really depressed me, right? But I didn't really put it all together until much later on as to why all this was the case. I just assumed that they didn't like my shoes or something. My Letterman jacket didn't look like their jacket did, so maybe they just weren't really interested in all that or whatever. It wasn't until much later on that I realized that this separation was actually probably divine. Which is kind of weird to look back at it and see it that way, you know what I'm saying? But then it does kind of get me thinking, like, it's kind of hard to imagine how God could separate sky from sea. But it really isn't all that hard to imagine how God separated me from the people that really did not have my best interest at heart. It's not hard to imagine at all. I can look back and I can see how God was like, yeah, those are not your people, right? And there's this separation that happened outside of, let me be really clear. It's not like I wasn't trying to be friends with them. Like, I knew what all they were into, and I wasn't trying to be all into what they were doing in the party scene and that kind of stuff. But I would have just liked some friends, I mean, at least, right? And so I knew what they were doing. I wasn't trying to do what they were doing, but I did actually want to be there. I wanted to be with them. I wanted to hang out with them. I wanted to talk to them. Like, I wanted those relationships. It's not like I was like so holy to say, oh, no, Lord, I see these people are not in my best interest, so I'm going to step away. No. It's just the opposite. I was pursuing them, and God was like, no, this is not what we're looking for right now. And he put this vault in between us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. See, this is actually, this particular verse is one that's really interesting because this is actually part of the foundation of who we are as the church of God. See, there was a day in this country where your faith was actually determined by the denominational affiliation that you had. And so there was a guy named D.S. Warner who actually got kicked out of a couple of denominations because he wasn't all into all that. And he didn't want to agree with every single every single belief that these different denominations may have had. And so what he said is, you know what? I shouldn't have to line up with a list of beliefs that man comes up with. Like, all I should have to do is just line up with the Word of God. Like, all I should have to do is line up with the Holy Spirit. And so there the church of God is born. And it's this idea of these people that are coming out of denominationalism, coming out of this worldly construct, or this man-made construct of faith. And what if we just decided to follow Jesus? What if we just decided to follow God's word? What if we just decided to submit to God's Holy Spirit? That's where the church of God was born. This idea of being separated out from. That we would not just be, that we would not just go along with everything else that man had put together, but that we would simply submit ourselves to God and to his leadership. Like, it might be hard to imagine how it is that God could separate sky from sea, but it's not that hard to imagine how God could bring a separation from the things that are not of him and the things that are of him. Like, it's not hard to believe that. And I just know that I've experienced that myself. Maybe you have too. Maybe you've seen where God has tried to kind of move some people out of your life. And you look back and you realize, you know what? God was actually a blessing in disguise. There's a separation that happens. Let me do one. I got a whole list. I'm not gonna be able to get to all of them, but let me do I think one more. Verse 9. Because verse 9 hits the other side of this, and it says, and God said, let the waters under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. And so it was. It's interesting, about the same time that I found myself being distanced from these friends at school, I also found myself being drawn to these friends that were part of the church. And these were like rich relationships, right? Like, these are people that when I see them still today, like, we say to each other, I love you, right? I don't think I ever said that to anybody that I went to school with, ever, right? Why would I do that? That would be nonsense. That would be ridiculous. But these people that began to move toward me, like, they were there for me. I remember actually they in times where things may not have been going so well for my mom, who is now a single parent. Let me be clear, I was very involved with both my parents. They live very close to each other. All the visitation thing was all worked out, and everybody was doing. This is going to sound sort of funny. They were a lot better at being divorced than they were married. All right, I'm not encouraging divorce. Let me be honest there. But my parents were a whole lot better at being divorced than they ever were being married. And but I lived with my mom most of the time. But even still, she was a single mom, right? And so there were things that would come up that she wasn't able to do. She didn't know how to do these things. And there were these people that were part of the church that just kept showing up. They just kept being, and then not only were they there for her, but they were there for me, and they're inviting me to stuff, and I'm hanging out with them, and people that have no business, like, being interested in my life whatsoever, right? Like, I had nothing to offer them, nothing, and yet here they are, and we're gathering together in this way, and when we do, there's something that starts coming up in the midst of those gatherings that God was doing inside of me that I never saw coming. I actually believe that I'm standing here today because of that gathering. Because God was bringing some things up in the midst of what he was gathering. See, it might be hard to imagine how God could gather water in one place and raise up land in another. But I know how he gathered me with the church. And I know how he raised up some things inside of me, some things that I never would have ever imagined in myself, some things that if my mom was standing here before you right now, she would say, there's no way in the world that my boy ever could have done that, right? But yet God raised up some things in the gathering. I want to invite the worship team to come on up here. I got to skip through the rest of this here because we don't have another hour to be here. But as you go through this whole chapter, it's so fascinating for me to go through and to look at each of these different elements and think, you know what? It's really hard to imagine how God could, for example, how could God just make vegetation, like just produce vegetation? How does he put a sun and a moon and the stars in the sky? How does he make man and people in his own image? How does he do that? Why, and we probably even shouldn't even get into why he does that, but and it's really hard to imagine how in the world could God do all of this. But what I want you to hear today is that this is not something that God has done in the past. Yes, it is in a manner of speaking. But this is something that God is still doing now. Right? This is something that is still happening. This is something that God is still working. Like I want you to realize that it is not hard for me to believe that God created all that is because I see what he is creating inside you even right now. Like I see it with my eyes. Like you might not, this is what's so awesome about being a pastor. Sometimes God shows me some things inside of you that you don't see yet. It's really exciting, and I know it's really scary for you, but there are some amazing things that God is doing. So it is not hard for me to believe at all that God could speak and things would change and things would appear and things would rise up and be gathered together and separated out. It's not hard for me to imagine at all because I see him doing it even right now. And he's doing it all over. Here's the crazy thing. He's doing it right now. What I want to know is how are we going to respond since God is speaking now? See, when God speaks, something happens. It happens. And I know sometimes we can be scared to death that something might happen. If something happens in us, then what's going to happen? What do we need to do about that? Like, how might we need to change? What do we need to give? What do we need to sacrifice? All this kind of stuff. I just want you to know, if the God of the universe is able to speak things into existence, and it has been able to continue all these years, don't you think he could speak something into your life and not destroy you in the process? Like, don't you think he could make you flourish in a way that you've never flourished before in your life? We've been doing these wristbands here, and I've got them up here again. They're going to be here every single week for the whole year, by the way, just so you know. They simply say, God is able. Maybe part of your issue today is maybe it goes beyond just the creation story. Maybe for you it's hard to imagine that God could create all that is, but maybe the hardest thing to imagine is that God could create something in your life. Maybe the hardest thing to imagine is that God could recreate you into something brand new, something forgiven, something transformed, something that belongs to him. I want you to know you are. And God is able to do that in you. As surely as he has created all of us, he is able to recreate us even now. I want to invite you to stand with us. We're going to sing a couple of songs here. And as we do, I'm going to invite you to come to an altar of prayer and just surrender yourself to him. Maybe you just want to come and grab a wristband and say, you know what, I don't get how the Lord did all this creation stuff, but I'm going to trust and believe that he is able to create some things in my life just by speaking into me. I'm going to take that step of faith to trust him with my life. However it is the Lord is impressing himself upon you, however it is that he is speaking into you, his word respond inside of you, even now. Amen.